This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your snowy Tuesday. Matt and Patrick, I couldn't get up into the driveway here. Someone turned off Valley View Road and just decided to park in our driveway for some reason. And then basically, so because to do this, I had to fishtail it up here because it's a pretty nasty one. Yeah, I had no chance. I had no chance whatsoever. So, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sorry about that. Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you. I appreciate it. Ugh, I get it. It's tough driving out there, but frustrating because you'll be able to drive around my car. Don't worry. Imagine a car blocking the entrance to a parking ramp. It's fine. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The stress of it all, you know that? It's the stress of it all out there, Patrick. Watching U.S. soccer. Holy God. We won. We advance. Who do we take on, Belgium or the Netherlands?
I think the Netherlands was the one that I saw, but I don't think anything was confirmed yet.
Actually, no, that's if you come in second in this group, you take on the first in a different group. So they know that's yeah. Well, so that's your thank you gift for surviving the pool round. But they beat Iran 1-0 is the final there. They move on. They just finished that game on up. But they were, you know. It's kind of predictable, you know. They get up 1-0, and then they, you know, the last 20 minutes is basically Iran playing out way outside their ability, and you almost kind of wonder to yourself. And this is the problem I have with a lot of sports, is when you have a team that's facing elimination, all of a sudden they're playing really well, but the team that's better doesn't seem to match them. And I understand that this is they're playing on emotion stuff, but aren't you? Aren't you out there playing on emotion? I would think you would be. And so it's a frustrating part about it. I mean, England moves on from our bracket as well. They what was the score? 1-0 on the British England Wales game?
I think that must have been it. I didn't keep a close eye on that one.
Should have never tied those guys. We should have won that game. Tied England. We would have been cruise control. It wouldn't be such a heartbreaker as it always is. Anyway, they move on. My guess is going to be if we do have to play the Netherlands. Well, that's been fun. And make sure you enjoy your flight back home because Netherlands is good the last time I checked. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. It is also stressful because of the driving out there. It is a freaking mess. And you know, it's not the main highways per se. Most of those look like a plow has been through it recently, at least. It's a lot of the secondary roads, and I don't know if that's just because the snow was falling at such a rate that they basically kept the plows on specific roads to prevent them from becoming a nightmare. I'm not sure about that, but it is, you know, definitely it's. It's tough driving out there right now. You're going to anticipate. I'm glad you're with me. You know, you're here with me for a little bit. I don't even need to look at the traffic map. There's accidents. There's spinouts. You're going slow. Just take it easy. And my reminder, every time we have one of these things, my reminder, the same thing I'll say over and over and over again. All right? If you are in a pickup truck or an SUV, is that a safer vehicle than most other vehicles? Yes, at the same speed. But I would rather be in a smaller vehicle that doesn't have all the bells and whistles at 40 miles an hour versus one of those at 65. Because when I was at Metro Traffic, we did this thing over one winter where we kept track of all the accidents, and by far the vast majority of them include SUVs and pickup trucks because people think they're impervious with them. So just drive safe out there. Give yourself the extra time that you need, because it is going to be a bit of a sticky wicket of a commute out there. So 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. There's a lot to get to today. We got Cooligan, I believe, is going to be joining Brett here a little bit later on. He's going to stop in with their weekly interview there to talk about this. I do want to – the story that's captivated the state in the last 2 days was what happened yesterday up in Beltrami County when 200 people had to be rescued from a sheet of ice that broke free on Upper Red Lake on Monday. Now, I want to make sure we say – because this is something – there are a few things we got to say about this. You are incredibly lucky the wind wasn't going a different way, because this story could have ended up being a far bigger tragedy if that was the case. If you all of a sudden are floating on a sheet of ice out into the big lake, out into the big waves, you're all done. You're all going in the drink, and you got to hope someone's out there with a boat that can get you in. And unfortunately, most boats are not in the water at this point. And I mean, heck, in some cases, it'd be hard to get a boat into the water. So, you know, this we are lucky this wasn't an absolute, you know, leading the world news, 120 people die because they were on an ice floe that went out into the main lake. Because right now, would I go fishing out on Lake of the Woods? No. You know, this brings up the other point. What are you doing ice fishing in Minnesota in November? And before you say, you city slickers, okay, shut up. My family's from the range, okay? I wouldn't go on Lac La Croix, Cabot Gama. I wouldn't go on Rainy Lake. I wouldn't go on any of those, the very northern lakes. I wouldn't go to any of them. Winnebagoche wouldn't be going on those right now. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be going on any lake, period, even in northern Minnesota, probably till the 10th of December. In the metro area, and this is a big if, maybe Christmas. Maybe. And I get it. You're probably saying, well, you're just too afraid. You don't know the conditions. Clearly, a whole bunch of you freaking people don't know the damn conditions up there. Don't you dare criticize me when we had to haul 200 of your sorry butts off that damn ice sheet. You don't know better. This is that kind of mentality that this is not about rural versus urban. This is just freaking common sense. And my family knew not to go on freaking ice on November 29th. Heck, maybe if you're in northern Manitoba. Maybe, okay, I'll meet mid-Manitoba. Sure, maybe late November. If it's been an exceptionally cool time of year, maybe southern Manitoba. Maybe. But I wouldn't be going on northern Minnesota lakes until the 10th. I sure wouldn't be going on metro area lakes until the 25th of December. Because we had too many years where all of a sudden we're going to have a week of 40s. And that doesn't make for very strong ice. I mean, I'm actually kind of stunned there was this collective foolishness up there under this guise that this was something that was a good idea. I mean, this could have been a massive tragedy. There was one of the historical writers in town, the articles they wrote about was the steamboat liner that rolled over because of a storm out on Pepin, killed 100-some people. That was the 1880s, something like that, 1890s, out for a summer trip. And the wind came in, just rolled the ding boat over. All these people died. You could have had something of that magnitude. Because I can tell you right now, that water is not going to be good for you. You're not going to be up in that water for too long, even if you're a good swimmer. Oh, no, you just can't be stupid. And when someone points out, it's like, what in the world are you doing there? Don't come back at me and say, you don't get it. You don't know northern Minnesota. No, I do know northern Minnesota. My family was from northern Minnesota. My grandparents are from northern Minnesota. My great-grandparents were from northern Minnesota. I know northern Minnesota, okay? And you don't go ice fishing in November up there. Maybe if it's one of those lakes, and I'm not saying go fish ice fish on Lone Lake, but have you ever been on Lone Lake out in Minnetonka there, Patrick, at all?
Yeah, I know where that is.
You know how that's down in a ravine, so the sun really never gets at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those lakes where you might be able to try to pull that off in northern Minnesota. Not now. Matt is not suggesting go to Lone Lake. No, don't do that. Wait till Christmas if it's been a cold stretch. That's the part about this story which is people just don't want to understand. Thank God the wind was blowing the direction it did, because didn't they have that out on Superior? Gosh, was it 5 or 6 years ago? One of the bays, one of the big chunk of ice in one of the bays broke off and started going out into the lake. And if it gets out into the big waves, you're done. You're all done. And granted, Red Lake is not the size of Lake Superior, but you get some big waves on Red Lake. Trust me, I've been on that lake. That's not a tiny one, man. That's got some size to it.
I feel like we honestly go through this, maybe not on this scale, but every year it's, oh, idiot went through. It's not even just on the front. It's not on the back end. You have the people trying to do it, after St. Patrick's Day. Or into early April,
yeah,
even.
The house that's in the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
Or the truck that's in the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I never gets tired to hear that story. Bet that cost a lot of money to fix. Or a complete loss of your vehicle. That happens out on Lake Minnetonka, too. But I will say, there is a mentality, a broken mentality in this country that's been fueled by Republicans. That it's us versus them. And when you point out, it's like, holy God, what are you guys even doing out there on the ice? You just don't get it. You're not one of us. No, actually, I am. I've spent a lot of my life in northern Minnesota. I am. You're just dumb for trying to do this. And, they want to just look at you as like you and your metro people and all these things. Before you sit there and bash on us, why don't you do a few things for me, okay? Why don't you stop trying to go ice fishing in November? How about you stop taking down 12 beers and driving a freaking ATV and rolling that sucker over and dying? Why don't you stop with the fun gunplay after you've had a few shots of Jack and accidentally shooting someone? Why don't you stop with the concern about the metro area's problems while you ignore the meth house next to you, which are littered across rural Minnesota? A true crime problem that is affecting both rural and metro areas that you guys just don't want to talk about because I'd rather talk about black people in North Minneapolis. Stop it. You need to clean up your own house. And this is, every one of you, and this is my thing, okay, once again, religious disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian. All you need to go to church. All you need to go to church. And say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for, yeah. That could have been a very, very sad story. And, yeah. What was the thing here? It's like, the statement the sheriff's office authorities were first made aware of the stranded anglers around 11:30. When first responders found, they found a large portion of the ice had broken away from the shore with up to 30 yards of open water between the anglers and the land. God, thank God that didn't go further out. Just after 2:30 p.m., about 200 people had safely evacuated from the lake. They had this, the crack in the, okay, here's where, this is where, just, what are you guys doing? A crack had been discovered in the ice a few hundred yards from the shore last week due to the warmer weather. Over the last few days, the crack started to widen. You saw the crack. I didn't want to go out there and fish. Jeez. He said the most people were off the ice before search and rescue arrived on the scene, and there was little to no panic during the situation. Yeah, that's because the wind was playing on your side. I want to thank the local and rescue and the fire department for being so fast. Everyone did pretty much walk on their own, but it's cool to see the presence. They're willing to help if needed. You're lucky. You are so lucky. Would they even be able to? Here's a question. Because obviously the ice is built up around the shore. Would they have been able to launch a rescue boat if that sheet of ice had decided to take the trajectory out into the water? Would they have even been able to you would have had to get out there with ice chippers to chip out the boat launch.
Or you're talking about like a chopper rescue and they don't have the same resources as we do in the metro.
No, area. They don't. They don't. And they sure don't have a chopper that's going to carry 200 people. No one has a helicopter that's going to carry 200 people.
Oh, no. But yeah. You just kind of have to start, you know, as many of you guys as we can get out of here, you know, that we can.
They do the Iron Man thing from Iron Man 3 where he was carrying all the people from the plane. Remember that? Great scene. Only imagine them all wearing fishing gear.
Have guys hanging from a rope ladder or something.
Get out the Zeppelin. We're going on an emergency saving. Oh, no. Oh, God. I mean, and that's the first thing I say when I hear these stories is, thank you. Need to go to church. Once again, disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian. You all need to go to church because the wind was playing nice that day. If it was not playing nice, this would have been a very different story. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And wait until mid-December before you go ice fishing, all right? Especially if there's a large crack there. That might be what's called a clue. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. So looking at the World Cup thing, okay, because we're in Group B, and so we both England and the United States will play Group A teams. We have the Netherlands, who had 7 points. We had 5 points. England will take on Senegal. Senegal's a good team, by the way, underrated. Here's the one thing that might help us out. As you say, wow, 7 points. They were in the bracket with Qatar. So that, you know, they had the easy win with them. It wasn't, I mean, Ecuador was definitely down this year, wasn't as good of a team. And so, you know, I think that the England and the United States definitely had a tougher path to get out of their bracket. But still, it's the Netherlands. Is that the orange? Is that the people with all the orange? Is that? I mean, remember that? It's Belgium? No, they don't. It's the Netherlands. It's the orange.
Yes, the Netherlands is the orange.
There's no orange in your flag, man. There's no Netherlands. There's no orange. Dutch. There's no orange there. I get it. There's probably some ancient symbolic meaning. I'm missing it. And yes, your speed skaters do look delightful in the orange unisuits, but. There you go. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Once again, just take it easy out there. It is going to be a tough commute, and that's just that. The good news is the snow is going to end here. What's the latest, Patrick, on that? Is it like 4:30 it's going to end?
I think I heard a little later than that. But...
Okay. Thanks, Buzzkill. See, if blame Patrick at this point. If the snow sticks around, it's all Patrick's fault.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, it's going to end this afternoon, though. So it's not going to be going into the evening, which is nice. And then on top of that, that should be able to by tomorrow. They should be able to have a lot of this cleared on out. Oh, we got here. We go. Here's that traffic map. Wow, look at all that. You know, it is so nice during the holiday season when you light things up with color, isn't it? Oh, look at that. Lots of pretty reds. No one's going anywhere fast in the metro area. There is how many accidents we got downtown right now, especially on 394. Yikes! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got enough for a punch card to get a free sub down there. Great. Tough here in the south. It looks like, I'm going to guess from the weather maps I saw, it looks like a lot of the bad snow was going to be on the southern side of the city and the southeastern side of the city. That's where those heavier bands were starting to set up. Not saying we didn't get like 6 inches up here, but if there was a chance of that 8-inch mark, which they were kind of talking about, I think it's there. That seems to match with the accidents because you got traffic accidents on 94, 694 in the Southeast Metro. Over the Wakoda Bridge, oh, yeah, you're going to get some trouble there. 1, 2, 3, 4 on 494 between the Wakoda Bridge and 52. Icy conditions, snowy conditions. Over by the Vikings headquarters, it's a train wreck. Well, that was that Dallas game. But there's also how many accidents there? Like 4? Ugh. And these are just the main roads. Lots of cars in the ditches, lots of cars out there. You just got to take it slow, get home. get yourself, like I do, I got a nice thing of peppermint tea here. Nice time of the season, you know? Got to get into the festive flavors. Little peppermint tea, just sit back, relax, and then realize you got to go shovel it. And, you know, or you know, I guess you could just look at it, wait for the melt. the apathetic Minnesotan. I'm not against snow. I don't want to look as like a hater, so I'm just going to let it melt on its own. Good luck with all that. It'll be like a road in Churchill before too long in your driveway. Give the plows plenty of room. Give them plenty of room. Especially, do you really want to be right on the tail of a plow when they're spraying that salt around? It's like getting pelted. You're going to get tons of little dents on your car. And it takes a few seconds for the chemicals to work. So, you know, you thinking you're going to be able to get the first of the new road like Mater. Come on, man. It doesn't work that way. So take it easy. Take it slow. Wow, that is a lot of accidents. Yikes. Well, you got me. I'm glad to be with you. I'm wearing my Sorel boots on. I'm all set to go. My barely got into the driveway here. We'll have some more fun. As a matter of fact, hour and a half of it. Let's take an early break here. I'll come on back. I want to get into Twitter for a second here because it's pretty clear where things are going at this point. And I want to just try to stop all the people on the left who are trying to guilt shame people into staying on Twitter. All right, I'm going to get to that here in a second. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Man, a pulled pork sandwich sounds damn good right now. Sounds real tasty. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So I want to be, I want to basically, you know, Twitter today. Well, first of all, I don't know if you've seen this, but Elon Musk is apparently trying to threaten Apple, which, by the way, that will be hilarious. You think... I don't know what the cost of Apple is, but I guarantee it was a heck of a lot more than Twitter, and they have a lot more control. But he basically, because of the amount of disinformation, he's afraid that app is going to be removed from Apple things, which I don't think it is. I don't actually think Apple has actually said this. Elon Musk is saying it has. And so he's basically out there trying to make this argument like they better not. And there's a question on whether or not Elon Musk is trying to goat Apple into some sort of fight with Republicans. I don't know. But the other thing that he's done, and boy, oh, boy, he is just a cornucopia of idiocracy. He in a recent update, he has said that he is going to remove – the policy that enforced, you know, blocking people that were putting out misleading information on COVID-19. That Twitter for a long time was not allowing people to put out misinformation, fake information, stuff like this. He's restored 62,000 suspended accounts of people that were basically like, you're going to get magnetized. I mean, those people. What you need to do is take a light bulb and you need to unbuckle your pants. See if you can follow where I'm going to go with this here, all right? Okay. This horse dewormer for you. Now, it's made for horses. It's a dewormer, which you're not having a problem, but we're going to use it to treat your COVID. Now, once again, unbuckle those pants because it's time to rise and shine. Those people. Those loon balls, those idiots, he has basically come to bat for them. There has to be a bit of an intervention here in regards to what's really going on here. Now, for the record, let's just be honest. He didn't buy this for any kind of economic benefit. Is that, if anything, I mean... Once again, the estimates on the value of Twitter now are between 7 and 10 billion, which is a fairly steep drop from the 44 billion he bought them with only 2 months ago. 2 months ago, he paid 44 billion. It's 7 to 10 billion now. He can't get advertisers. Most advertisers are not coming back. He's basically fired most of the people that work there. And as many people have said, it's only a matter of time before that system crashes. And he has welcomed in people, the hate extremist groups, left and right. And frankly, that's any chance you have of becoming a legitimate organization are not there. So we need to stop and make sure we step away and say, Elon Musk did not buy this because he thought to himself, well, there's an up-and-coming company. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to maximize it. Nope. He bought it for one of two reasons. One, he's a petty little whiny crybaby who basically did it like, those mean people are saying mean things about me on there, so I'm going to buy that and stop them. Which sounds like there's been a lot of people that have indeed been had their accounts blocked because of criticizing Elon Musk, Mr. Free Speech. Sure thing. Which, by the way, conservatives love, because it's not about free speech. It's basically shutting down everyone else and having their speech. But reminder, with Republicans, they don't want you to go away. They want to force you to have to read their tweets, and they just fantasize about you crying about it. Ugh. Got him. Get those lips. That's what they are. And that, by the way, is not going to happen. It's either he basically is just the most thin-skinned billionaire. Okay. And by the way, seriously, you got that much money. Just cash out half of it. Find some island and sit there and watch waves come in. While the most beautiful people bring you food, rub your feet, you know, bring you drinks for the rest of your life. Nope, you're going to go to the office carrying a sink. God, you're an idiot. Anyway, so there's that, and so that could be a possibility. The other possibility is something that I think that people need to start understanding, which is probably the real deal here. They're shutting it down to try to stop the ability of Democrats, leftists, and progressives from being able to communicate effectively and organize effectively, at least for the time being. That is really what we're looking at here. None of this stuff. And Elon Musk keeps screaming, I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, as everything he does is pandering to the far right. I mean, everything he does. I mean all the leftists basically have far fewer people. Now, that's because people are leaving. All the Republicans, they get all these bot accounts are starting to come back in. Some Republicans are coming in, but a lot of bot accounts are coming on in. They're allowing Trump back on. They're allowing all these people. They're allowing hate speech back, and they're welcoming it up with a grand applause. They are out there trying to put out misinformation. They don't care. This is what he's trying to do. And the point is to stop the ability of Democrats to be able to use it as a way to communicate with each other and organize. And frankly, the mentality is that we don't have anywhere else to go, which is ludicrous. I mean, there are plenty of places to go. God forbid, I mention this, you could go back to Facebook. I know. I might as well say MySpace at this point. But you could go back to Facebook, Instagram. I don't think TikTok is very good at this stuff just because of the nature of the platform that it's on. Mastodon, I've got an account over at Mastodon. I probably tonight will have an account over on Hive. Those are the two that you're hearing a lot more of. And by the way, quick side note to Mastodon. Stop with all these different hubs that you've got. You have an opportunity to become one of the big players in this game. You've got a very good little you know, thing here, the stupid thing you've got, which is just such a tech thing, is that you created, you were clever, and you created all these little specific little areas on Mastodon where all these people can go here and all these people can go here, and it becomes very difficult. I try to keep searching for people throughout your entire website, and I can't find them because I can only find people within my little pod on Mastodon. So Mastodon, you have an opportunity here to become one of the big boys in social media. You need to clean that up. Side note done. Hive, I've heard some interesting things about it. I'll go try that out and see what that looks like tonight. But what we're looking at is that there are options for you that are not Twitter. Which brings me to the progressives, the Democrats, the liberals who are out there saying, I'm not like you guys. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay here and fight the good fight. Dude, the war's over, man. Okay. There are three outcomes with Twitter right now. There are only three, all right? One, it dies, which is probably the leader in the clubhouse at this point. That Elon Musk can't make any money off of it, that he basically the systems itself fail and start catastrophically failing and they can't fix them. And as opposed to sell it to someone else, he basically doesn't want someone saving the company. He just turns off the switch, walks out the door, and acts like he did a good thing. He takes a takes a $44 billion size potty break. And then acts like, see, I'm a big boy. That's scenario one. It just dies. Scenario two, I think, has also got a legitimate chance. As a matter of fact, all three of these, I think, are about equal, if you want to know the truth. Scenario two is that he makes a product so bad that he has to sell it if he's going to get anything out of it. And someone comes up to him and says, I will offer you $10 billion, probably at that point, $6 to $7 billion more than it's worth. I'll give you $10 billion for Twitter and call it a deal. And he'll grab the money and run. And he'll do like Trump does. He'll sit there and he'll pat himself on the back and he'll say, didn't I do a great job with Twitter? As he basically takes a, you know, $30 to $35 billion loss on this little project, which once again, he's not doing for economic reasons. There is no way on the planet anyone with a half a brain would have told him to do this. This is either about his mild little ego or about it's specifically about basically taking Twitter and preventing Democrats from being able to use it as they have effectively. So there's scenario two, that basically eventually takes the money and he runs. And even then, it will take years to recover Twitter from the damage he's done in 2 months. Years. All right? So that's scenario two. Scenario three is also a likely outcome. He basically turns Twitter into a slightly more respectable Truth Social where it's only Republicans there. He won't make any money off of it. As a matter of fact, I imagine it's not going to be too long before I think that app stores probably stop taking Twitter. But he'll keep it on the air. He might start his own phone company, which, you know, red veins popping out of their forehead Republicans will go run down and buy their phone that will cost them $2,000 because I got one of the Elon Musk phones. It's so much better. It doesn't work half the time, but it still works. It's great. I love it. Yeah, that sort of thing. Just because that's the point of this whole thing is to basically try to give Republicans more of a communication space than the Democrats. And for the time being, mission accomplished. This is why I go back to you guys and I say, all you people who are trying to guilt people into staying or trying to say, don't go. They've already won. Because there's no scenario here where Twitter is going to come back as you had it 3 months ago. It just is not. It reminds me of when, and this is here's a deep cut for radio folks in Minneapolis, St. Paul, when WLOL, 99.5 WLOA. Wake me up, Heinz and Berglund. Remember that? I remember that. LOL was bought by NPR, and they flipped it to classical. And hey, I love a good classical. Hey, I love it. I actually do listen to the NPR classical every once in a while. But that was an abrupt change. And there were a lot of 15-year-old girls who were saying, why aren't they going to bring it back? Because it's gone. It's gone. We didn't think it could happen. We thought, you know, it's sometimes shocking when it happens to a local radio station or a TV station. But we didn't think it could happen to a social media company. But welcome to the new age created by Republicans for this purpose. They have been shoveling money into billionaires by the truckload because they need them to have this kind of cash ability to go take down these entities that are allowing Democrats to be able to communicate and, frankly, beat them. I don't think, you know, when you say, is Elon Musk, is this really his agenda? Is this really his plan? Was this really his goal to go out there and do it like this? He's a simpleton. He really is. He's an easily manipulated simpleton. And there are guys out in Silicon Valley, far right dudes with a lot of money who basically seem to pressure him in here. Plus the Saudis seem to have been involved in this as well. There absolutely was an agenda here. Now, it might not have been Musk's, but he was probably the dupe that got pushed into it. I'm bringing this up because there's a lot of people I respect who are out there like, you can leave, but I'm staying. Now, I'm still on Twitter. I still got the showcase because there's a lot of people that are out there that I've been communicating with and I'm following that's the only place they're at. I mean, I'm about to go on like YouTube. You know, I'm not going to start my own YouTube page per se. I mean, I think we do broadcast on YouTube occasionally. And I'm not going to necessarily do a TikTok thing. But I got the Facebook page and I've got Mastodon. Like I said, I'll have a Hive later on today. So there'll be options. And I'll keep posting and I'll keep getting this stuff up there. But the reality is that Twitter is gone. It's not coming back. Or if it does come back, it's going to be years before it does return. And it's going to be a heck of a lot of growing pains in that same time frame. So if you really want to live in this current moment, do like a teenager does, which is drop a social media app and go to a different one. They don't care. My God, I have seen this with my own kids. They can jump from app to app to app to app, and they have no problem with it. And someone will introduce another one in next week, and they'll all be on it, and they'll know how to use it 1,000 times better while I'm still here going, I'm on my LinkedIn. Oh, boy. Sorry, LinkedIn didn't deserve that. But it's the truth. The age of Twitter is done. And as it slides to this extremist right position, it's not anything that most of us want to be at. If I walked into a room and I realized, oh, look, a bunch of Nazis, you think I'm going to sit around there saying, I'm going to stay here and be the voice of reason? No. Bye. I walk into a room and there's a bunch of guys wearing sheets. I'm going to, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay here to counterpoint. No, I'll just leave and I'll just go to a different room. I'll let you guys have your truth social, your fantasies about liberal tears. I will go someplace else and be a heck of a lot happier and a heck of a lot less stressed out. And yeah, we will eventually refer to Twitter as we refer to MySpace today or AOL. From way back when. We will look on this as something a technical historical point, which is long gone. But don't act as if this is coming back. You got a better chance of convincing me that crypto is a good investment. Speaking of which, I'll take a break, come on back, talk a little bit about that as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. So, yes, I have once again. I'm not relishing in the fall of cryptocurrency. I am just saying I've spent 8 years saying, you want me to invest in what again? I have a financial planner. I recommend if you can get one, get one. I mean, they are very helpful. Even if you don't have a lot of money, they are very helpful. They really are. Whenever we've looked for a new one, we had one that we had who retired, and so we had to find a new one. We sit down and we meet with them. And there's always one or two people that you'll meet who will be like, oh, I'm going to take your money and we're going to make it expand, triple, quadruple. And they'll say, we're going to invest it all in this one scheme. What you're clearly looking at is someone who is looking at your retirement account and your savings as a Vegas fund money. That if they're right, they'll be, oh, I'll be great. But the reality is most people are not right, and that's not how you do it. You do it safe with traditional investments. It's not something that you, on a day-to-day basis, you worry about. You got to have a good game plan. Most of your investments, really, especially, I'm at 54, a lot of my investments are now in fairly safe, low-risk categories, and that's the way you're supposed to do it. That being said, this crypto came on out, and like I said, every ad you saw on it looked like a Russian mobster's kid sitting on a car going, you get big money too, crypto, great! If everyone who's advertising your product is either a supermodel wearing a string bikini or some Russian mobster's looking kid, I don't think you've got a legitimate investment. Cryptocurrency lender BlockFi has filed for Chapter 11, become the latest casualty of the crypto contagion following the collapse of FTX. The dominoes continue to fall in the crypto world as a series of bad bets and market plunge has sent companies like FTX into bankruptcy. Trust me, some people are making a ton of money. No, without a doubt, there are a lot of people who are making billions of dollars. They're jamming it in their pocket and they're running out the door. Because this was it had all the markings of a freaking Ponzi scheme. And now all of a sudden, now that things are starting to collapse, people at the top are grabbing the cash and running. BlockFi says it has $256.9 million in cash on hand to support ongoing operations during the restructuring, I should say. But yeah, that's probably not going to be enough there, that's for sure. Prior to the events of this year, BlockFi had raised $1 billion in venture funding from investors like Dan Loeb, Tiger Global, and Bain Capital. Most of BlockFi's top 50 creditors aren't revealed in the filing, but those who are include West Realm Shires for $250 million. Wait a second here. You have how much money on hand? Here it is. $256 million, you already own one per company, $250. Okay, yeah, everyone's about to lose out here, okay? And this will continue. This will continue because it's not based – It's an imaginary currency based on, you know, what someone told you it was worth, and you basically believed the genie and said, yeah, it's worth billions. I've got a piece of crypto. I'm going to be the richest man in the world. No, that's not how it works. The system is not geared towards everyone becoming a billionaire. The system is geared for a handful of people to convince you you're going to become a billionaire, have you sink all your investments into their scheme, and then they run away with your money while you're sitting there going, hey! By the way, the Minnesota Commerce Department has put out this press briefing after the bankruptcy filing this month by the giant cryptocurrency exchange FTX. The Minnesota Department of Commerce is issuing a consumer alert cautioning potential investors that companies offering interest-bearing crypto accounts are not governed by the same rules and protections as banks or credit unions. FTX's collapse unfolded over a matter of days and jolted the crypto market. It follows bankruptcy filings in July by two other large cryptocurrency companies, Celsius Network and Voyager Digital. All three moves have contributed to growing concerns at the state and federal levels over the rapidly evolving segment known as decentralized finance, which includes cryptocurrency products and services. Many of the products and services offered by cryptocurrency companies are similar to traditional financial services offered by banks and regions, but without any of the regulatory safe holds there. Companies that have promised high returns in what are commonly called crypto interest accounts have slowed or halted transactions in those accounts, creating uncertainty among customers. And they basically put out here, contact the Department of Commerce in the state of Minnesota. I'll put that story out there, that press release out there. Guys, stay away from it. Just, you shouldn't have gone there in the first place. Stay away from it. My advice, find yourself a nice financial planner. Sit down with them and say, I want some medium to low risk investment advice. Hour two, that's coming up next. Hour number two of the show, Matt Patrick. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Good news for you in the rest of the metro. I was just outside here at the Palatial Broadcasting Complex at Eden Prairie. And it looks like it's pretty much stopping right now here. And it looks like a pretty clean line. It doesn't look like it's going to have any more come back. So at least it's starting to push through. It's starting to clear out here, at least here on the southwest side of town. I'll do a traffic report for you. Hey, let's look at the maps. Oh, my God. All right. So how is it possible we have more accidents than people that live in the city of Minneapolis-St. Paul? That doesn't seem actually that's correct. But apparently it is. So it's going to take you a while to get anywhere. I think we broke that 6-inch mark. It's a good 7 inches here. So it looks like 7-8 inches here. So commence your jokes. Okay. Sometimes I don't go into the gutter. Sometimes I try to be a nice guy and I just talk about the depth of the snow, 7-8 inches. But I know there's a lot of dirty people out there with dirty minds, and I love you for it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. What town, what suburb do you have to drive to tonight?
Only over to the faraway, distant suburb of Edina.
Oh, well, that's not bad. That's just right down there. Yeah, that's right over there. I can like point to it. It's over there. It's over that way. You're gonna be fine. I gotta determine how I get home. So it looks like traffic is pretty heavy down on 494. Even though there's no accidents down in the south side of town, but there are. Oh man, over on the southeast side of town, that's a mess. Northeast side of town's a mess. Downtown Minneapolis is a mess. But good news for you. It looks like it's no accidents at all in St. Cloud. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Do you do transactions online like Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace and stuff like that?
I do not. I just don't have a reason to use them.
Let's go back to the crypto thing I was talking about. I just don't trust them, man. There was a friend of mine, it's about a year ago, I think it was, had kind of coordinated. She was selling something and she had it. And the guy was going to come pay the money. And she, of course, was very smart wanted to meet in a very crowded, place. She gets there. The person is there waiting for her and says, hey, why don't we go meet over here? And she said very smartly, very, very smartly, she says, you know what? I'm going to go inside and get a cup of coffee, but why don't you meet me inside here? And he definitely did not want to go into the crowded coffee house, which was by design. That's where she wanted to meet. And so she goes in there and sits down. And the guy comes in and is like, oh, well, you want to sit inside? Well, there's some nice chairs out here. We could go sit outside. She goes, no, I'd rather stay here. I'm going to have my coffee and just enjoy it. I like this place. And she said, well, I've got what she was selling. And she said, well, do you have the money? And the guy's like, I don't have that on me right now. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll wait right here. why don't you go get the money and you meet me back here? Guy never came back. Guy never came back. He was going to rob her or try to grab it and run. And, you know, that was pretty smart. You got to be careful with this. And that is what Minneapolis police are now is warning residents about spike in robberies involving people trying to buy or sell items over Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. The crimes are taking place during the planned in-person meetings. Unsuspecting victims have been robbed of the item they're trying to sell or robbed of the money they're planning to exchange for the product. Some victims have even been shot. Yikes. Recent incidents this month have happened. 27th Avenue South, 24th Avenue South, Buchanan Street Northeast, Johnson Street Northeast. Meeting with a stranger to make a transaction can be a dangerous situation, police have said. Police provided the following tips to help buyers and sellers stay safe while meeting and to make these transactions. Transactions should only occur in a public place where there's a good lighting, surveillance cameras, and with a vehicle and pedestrian traffic. Police precincts, coffee shops, and public libraries are good examples of places to meet. By the way, I will say that Hopkins Police, I live in the city of Hopkins, shout out to my home dogs in H-Town. I live out there, and if you walk into the police department, they actually have this a sign saying a Facebook Marketplace Craigslist meeting location. And so, yeah, and no police department, I don't care where you're at, there's not a police department in the planet that's going to tell you, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that here. They will let you do that there. Use your local police department and go from there. All right, that's just my suggestion. Because that will, I think your chances of getting robbed there are pretty slim to none. Coffee shops, public libraries, good examples to meet. Never, ever, 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 ever meet at your home residence. Nope. No, 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 no. That's a bad idea. Do not disclose your personal information. I'm a Libra. I like, sunset walks on the beach. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Rush. So, yeah, no, don't share that stuff. Well.
Oh, and my social security last four.
Well, I don't know what kind of online transaction you're doing there. But, if it's like one of these things where it's a legitimate thing, I'll leave the rest to you. But who doesn't love a Libra that loves sunset beach walks? Check out the buyer or seller's social media profile to help determine if he or she is legitimate. So here it is. If the avatar for this individual is non-existent or looks like it's the picture that came out of the frame, probably not legit. And if they've got like four friends and all of them have Russian names, I don't think that's right either. They should have that's actually a really good way that you'll determine whether or not someone's legit. Bring a family or friend or family member to the transaction because nothing says, hey, I've been robbed by then having a friend or family member get robbed too. Be in a safe location. Have a complete plan in place before you leave for the meeting. Be wary and strongly consider canceling if the person changes anything at the last minute, kind of like my friend did there. And just, like I said, very smart. I was very impressed with her. She's just saying, oh, I'm just going to go in here and I'll meet you in here. And she didn't come out. If paying in cash, only have the payment due on hand. Do not have – that's a good bet. And as a matter of fact, if I could say probably best not to have your credit cards or anything with you on something like this. Establish how funds will be exchanged. Use transaction apps when possible. Establish a specific time for the meeting. Establish a public meeting location. Trust your instincts. If something doesn't feel right, cancel the meeting. Never meet at night alone or in an isolated area. Do we really have to tell people this? I guess we do. Yeah, the alley behind Manny's is not probably the best place to go and have your transaction for the water skis you're looking to sell over on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. If it looks like a lair, you get there, it's like, this looks like a lair. It looks like a villain would be setting up shop in here. You probably don't want to do that. But be careful out there. There are times where I think my wife has like an online community, board like that, that they do that for her company that they can, they can say, does anyone want this? But that's within the company. There's no one that's not in the company on there, so it's relatively safe there. Most of the time, I'm aware. I did a garage sale one time. Have you ever hosted a garage sale, Patrick?
We have, but a long time ago.
You realize a lot of your to carry off of George Carlin a little bit. All my stuff is, you know, is crap, really, because I look at it and I look at it's my stuff. You look at it, it's like it's crap, but your crap is your stuff. I look at that and I say that's crap and it's your stuff. That's kind of how the mentality is. Now I cleaned it up because it's Carlin. You can figure out where he went from there, but. That I've already done this. Most of the time I say to myself, I wonder if this is worth anything. It's probably not worth anything. And it's, you know, you're not going to get a lot for it. I generally, when I'm done with something, I donate it to Goodwill, or if it's something where I know that someone could use it, like I had a baby swing one time. I put it out in the front yard, put free on it, gone within an hour. Someone saw it and took it. All my best. That's how I do it, because I want to take all the haggling from some sort of Moroccan market and do it even shadier. No, I don't agree with that, man. And I know I'm about to get inundated with Matt. I think it's great. I think it works. I've done it all the time. It's no big deal. I meet in alleys behind buildings all the time. Well, good for you. Good for you. Is that what they call that transaction? Hello there. But I just – apparently the crime is up, so be careful from here on out. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We, of course, have got our usual check-in here with Brett Killigan today. He got a great story about an election denier who's the South Dakota's attorney general race – with the ties to the South Dakota Attorney General's race and the Hennepin County public, the prosecutor being forced to turn over public information about the Stallings case. And I'm going to talk more about the Stallings case when I come back, because that, I'm sorry. That, how is it possible that no police officers who went on the hunting expedition for Minneapolis residents that night, how come none of them have been charged with the crime? And how the hell is there such judicial mispractice that the lawyers who saw the body cam footage and knew that Stallings hadn't done anything, how in the world is it that they even tried to prosecute that case? I'll talk more. I'm livid about that. I'll get out of the way right now, though. Patrick Cooligan with Brett right here on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. And as usual on Tuesdays, we're joined by Patrick Cooligan, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Great resource for the latest in Minnesota news and politics is over at minnesotareformer.com. As today, we are going to be talking about two stories that the Reformer has been working on. One has to do with the Hennepin County's attorney's office releasing public information related to the Jaleel Stallings case, and the other has to do with what happened in the South Dakota's Secretary of State's race, as an election denier ended up winning that race, but she has some ties to a Minnesotan, so we're going to be talking about both of those today. Patrick, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure.
So let's start off with the first article titled, South Dakota's New Secretary of State Has Ties to a Vocal Minnesota Election Denier. So Monet Johnson was recently elected the Secretary of State of South Dakota, defeating her Democratic challenger Tom Cool, getting about 65% of the vote. Now, what's significant about Johnson was that she was one of the few election deniers to win a Secretary of State's office race around the country on Election Day back in early November. And her campaign credited the help of a Minnesotan named Rick Weeble, who is a former mayor of St. Bonifacius on the outskirts of the West Metro in the Twin Cities, who has spent the past few years talking about problems with elections. So, Patrick, tell us a little bit more about who is Rick Weeble and what sorts of theories he's been spreading in South Dakota and Minnesota.
Yeah, so we've kind of known about Rick Weeble and done quite a bit of reporting on him over the past year or so. He was the mayor of the small town of St. Bonifacius has kind of a networking background. And he kind of created this theory, hypothesis, I guess is a better word for it, that the election of 2020 could not possibly, including in Minnesota, could not possibly have won, been won by Joe Biden. And he has brought those fraud claims to sheriffs in various counties, and then his group, it's called Swamp Watch, has tried to, in some cases successfully, push counties to change their election procedures. And one of his main proposals is that we should hand count all ballots, which election experts will tell you is likely to be much less accurate than a machine tabulation and much slower. And one of the reasons it's less accurate is human error, and specifically the problem of humans getting tired on election night and making mistakes, which, as it turns out, becomes kind of part of this story in South Dakota.
Well, it seems, well, just to back up for a second, the name of his group is called Swamp Watch. I think that kind of tells you everything you need to know about the guy. But looking a little bit more into this, there seems to be a major misunderstanding on what exactly these tabulating machines do, because at least as I read through this, it seems like Weibel and his other election deniers seem to think that basically if there's any sort of machine that plugs into the wall, it's connected to the internet and can therefore be hacked, and that's why they don't trust these electronic voting tabulators. But that's really not the case at all, correct?
Right. There's certainly reason to be concerned about whether or not our election system is vulnerable to hacking. But they have their target kind of on the wrong thing here. And most states, including Minnesota, have processes in place that will check the, that'll essentially audit the machine count. And in Minnesota, for instance, we do a hand count of a few random precincts in every county. And in 2020, for instance, we counted 400,000 votes by hand, and the final tallies were essentially exactly the same as the machine tallies. So they've come up with all kinds of theories, which they wrap in a lot of kind of technical sounding mumbo jumbo. But the 2020 election is probably more scrutinized than any election in American history. And time again, the results come out the same. People who didn't know the first thing about election administration until 2020, and I would contend still don't, suddenly thought they were experts in election administration, which is a very technical, dry, and voluminous subject to master. And there are people, many people who have mastered it, and it was kind of the typical problem of late where everyone suddenly thought they were an expert and could show that there was fraud in election when it's been shown time and again that there wasn't.
It's interesting as well in South Dakota that they did have one county, Tripp County, which attempted to do a manual hand count, and they ran out into all sorts of problems with human accuracy, correct, when they tried to do this manual hand count of all of the votes?
It was a mess, and I believe someone from the county said as much, that it was a mess. And one of the reasons that Weibel actually gave, and to be clear, the connection here, Weibel's wife was the campaign manager for this election denier in South Dakota. He says, "Well, yeah, it's because they got they got tired." The humans who were doing the counting. Well, yeah, that's exactly why we don't have humans counting ballots because there's too many and it takes too long and human beings get tired. Machines don't get tired.
Absolutely. And I like the part, too, where they actually did end up finding some errors with the hand count. And it turns out that the machine was actually the thing that caught the errors. So found that aspect interesting as well. So, yeah, there's a little bit more to it when it comes to saying, well, we just need to manually hand count everything. Because as we've seen from many examples, including this in South Dakota, it can be an absolute mess when you have to hand count absolutely everything. Make sure you check out that piece over at MinnesotaReformer.com, again titled South Dakota's New Secretary of State Has Ties to a Vocal Minnesota Election Denier. Next piece I want to talk about has to do with, well, we're going to Minnesota, as we're talking about Hennepin County and how the attorney's office has been asked to turn over more public documents related to the killing of Jaleel Stallings. Of course, this is a case we have been talking about for quite some time. Just to back up a little bit, Stallings was acquitted of 8 charges in connection with the shooting of a Minneapolis police officer who fired marking rounds at Stallings without warning 5 days after the George Floyd police murder. A SWAT team was driving around in an unmarked van, firing at civilians, breaking curfew. Unaware they were cops, Stallings later testified that he fired back with a pistol at the officers, saying he thought they were white supremacists and purposely missed to try to scare them off. He was beaten, arrested, and painted by prosecutors as a would-be cop killer. So let's talk a little bit about this now and the fact that Hennepin County might be having to release more information, more public information about this case with Stallings. What kinds of information is Stallings' attorney, Eric Rice, looking for from this ruling?
Well, I think what he wants to know, and I think we want to know too, is what kind of conversations were being had at the Hennepin County attorney's office surrounding this case, because they put out a press release after the arrests and charges, and that was almost wholly inaccurate. And so I think that Stallings' attorney, Eric Rice, wants to know, well, what was being said by Hennepin County attorney staff and Minneapolis police? Who was saying who was putting out there this false information that eventually wound up in a press release? I mean, who was saying what to whom in text messages and emails and so forth? And then also potentially, you know, what was the conversation like as far as the charges to be brought against him? And so he asked for this correspondence. He's a skilled attorney, so he knows that attorney-client privilege, that documents that are under attorney-client privilege won't be handed over. If they're just talking about, if people in the county attorney's office are just talking about a communication strategy, like here's what our press release is going to say, that would seem to be public data, public records that ought to be released. What happened was when he asked for it, they gave him nothing. And so he went to this state board, which unfortunately it does not really doesn't really have much in the way of binding power. But they did issue this advisory opinion saying that the county attorney has to turn over documents, again, if they have any. As long as they aren't exempt by attorney-client privilege and don't reveal the attorney's work product. But I think that the people of Minnesota have a right to see what was being said by Minneapolis police and by the Hennepin County attorneys about this case.
Well, and as you mentioned, this is a non-binding opinion, so technically the county won't necessarily have to release all of that information. But things could change, though, in the coming months as Mary Moriarty has been elected the new Hennepin County attorney. Have there been any word as to, or at least any speculation as to whether that information could be released once she's in office, since she has made transparency a pretty big vocal point of her campaign that she ran over the fall?
Right. I mean, I think that would be, this would be a really early signal that she's going to run an office that is more transparent and that is committed to more truthful reporting to the public. about the business that they are in. And so we'll have to see what she does. I mean, it would be potentially these documents could be very embarrassing for people in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office and for Minneapolis Police. She has to work with those folks as her new job, and so she's got a decision to make there. I think, in the interest of public disclosure and transparency and good government, she ought to release what documents they have, and give the public a better understanding of how the county attorney and Minneapolis police wound up putting out so much misinformation, disinformation about this case, which completely upended Julio Stalling's life. And he was, of course, physically beaten, and he was charged with attempted murder. And I think he is owed answers, and but the public is, more importantly, the public is owed answers.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to know what exactly the county attorney's office was doing at that point when it seemed pretty clear that the body camera footage was completely contradicting at least what we were seeing from initial press releases from the county attorney's office. So it would be very important to get that information. And just one final point with this. I don't believe any of the info that would be released would necessarily lead to any legal action. But as you said, it could be shedding a pretty negative light on what was happening in Hennepin County in the wake of this Julio Stalling's case, correct?
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but it's hard to imagine. I mean, you sent out a false press release. It's not necessarily illegal, but they ought to stop doing it. And they, you know, if they're so concerned about the law enforcement, and particularly Minneapolis Police Department, their lack of credibility with the public, one thing that they could do to improve that situation would be to stop putting out untruthful statements. And this was one of the worst examples, other than perhaps the murder of George Floyd, but this was another terrible example of that. They put out a bunch of wrong information, and a jury corrected them, and Dina Winter's reporting has continually pointed out all of the disinformation they put out about Julio Stalling's, and so I think that we have a right to know what was being said at the time and why it was being said.
Well, you can read more about this over at the MinnesotaReformer.com. Again, the title of Dina's piece: State Says Hennepin County Attorney Must Turn Over Public Documents Related to Stalling's Case. And of course, you can read a lot more on that Stalling's case over at MinnesotaReformer.com, as the Reformer played a large role in bringing this pretty horrendous case to the public light. So make sure you can check that out, MinnesotaReformer.com. We have been speaking with Patrick Houlihan, who is the editor-in-chief of the Minnesota Reformer. Again, great resource for Minnesota news and politics, MinnesotaReformer.com. Patrick, thanks so much for the time today.
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Pulling up the radar as we speak here, it's kind of looking like indeed the snow is moving off. Still a little bit of flurries in the East Metro, but that should be moving off here fairly quickly. It will still take a while to get these roads cleared, though, so just anticipate the plows being out there going tonight here. I do have some breaking news that is just, you know, it's time to go to the smile file. Oh, here you go. A federal jury on Tuesday convicted Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes of seditious conspiracy for leading a months-long plot to unleash political violence to prevent the inauguration of President Joe Biden, culminating in the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. So for all your Republican friends out there, say, who's been convicted? Oh, okay, sorry. Well, they're not going to say that. They're just going to put their fingers in the air going, screaming, I love Trump, I love Trump. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. A panel of seven men, five women deliberated for 3 days before finding Rhodes and a co-defendant guilty of conspiracy to oppose by force the lawful transition of presidential power. Rhodes and all four co-defendants on trial were also convicted of obstructing Congress as it met to confirm the results of the 2020 election. Both offenses are punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Do not allow them to get like 5 years. No, 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 no. This is you have to throw the book at these guys. All 20. And if the judge has some leeway, add another five. Indeed. Rhodes, in a dark suit and a black eye patch from an old gun accident, stood by the defense table watching impassively as verdicts were read for the defendants facing a 13-count indictment. The indictment brought against Rhodes, 56, and other Oath Keepers associates on January was the first time the U.S. government leveled the historically rare charge of seditious conspiracy on the massive January 6 investigation. He is the highest-profile figure to face trial in connection with rioting by angry Trump supporters who injured scores of officers and ransacked offices, forcing the evacuation of lawmakers. Rhodes and followers, dressed in combat-style gear, converged on the Capitol after staging an arsenal of weapons at nearby hotels, ready to take up arms at Rhodes' discretion, the government charged. Rhodes' defense said he was in the co-defendants, came to Washington as bodyguards and peacekeepers, bringing firearms only in case Trump met their demand to mobilize private militia to stop Biden from becoming president. And Trump knew this was going on. Come on. Come on, stop with this. Oh, he's a 70-year-old innocent child. Come on, he knew what was going on. That incredible stain on our country's legacy. Not only is he out there having dinner with Holocaust deniers, but he knew this was going to happen here. Roger Stone was implanted with these guys specifically for that frickin' reason. He was their the White House's point person over there with these guys. And reminder, wasn't it someone from the Oath Keepers actually contacted the White House and spoke to someone over there for a few minutes on that day? Unbelievable. Now the only remaining question is how much higher did those plans go and who else might be held criminally responsible? The verdict for Rhodes' case likely will be taken as a bellwether for two remaining January 6 seditious conspiracy trials set for December against five other Oath Keepers and leaders of the Proud Boys, including the longtime chairman Henry Tarrio. Both Rhodes and Tarrio were highly visible leaders of the alt-right, far-right, anti-government movements and were highlighted at hearings probing the attack earlier in the year. The Justice Department arrested Rhodes in January, Tarrio in June, after an internal debate on whether the magnitude an organization behind the Capitol attack merited bringing the rarely used seditious conspiracy. Well, they proved it. So, yes. The Justice Department has argued in retaliated and in related cases that a conviction on either charge should carry the same 7 to 9 year sentence under advisory federal guidelines, a potential starting point for the judge in Rhodes' case, but the department calculated it was worth the risk to try to send a public message by charging the defendants with one of the most serious political crimes in a wider attack on democracy. You're going to jail. You're not going to get out. Enjoyable. But, well, I should say this. If Marjorie Taylor Greene has her way, if Kevin McCarthy has his way, if Trump has his way, they're going to pardon him and release that man back onto the streets. Yeah. Oh, just come on, man. They're just horrible, horrible people, and I am very glad they're going to jail for a long time. I want to get back to the story that Brett and Patrick Cooligan were talking about. And that is the story from the Minnesota Data Practices Office recently issued an advisory opinion saying the Hennepin County Attorney's Office must turn over documents, if it has any, surrounding the Jaleel Stallings case that weren't exempt by attorney-client privilege and didn't reveal any attorney's work product. The non-binding opinion was requested by Stallings' attorney, Eric Rice, after the prosecutor's office refused to hand over any public documents in connection with the case. Rice knows at a minimum emails were exchanged between reporters and prosecutors about the case and should be turned over to him under the state public records law. Stallings was acquitted of 8 charges in connection to the shooting of Minneapolis police, who fired marking rounds at him without warning in an unmarked vehicle 5 days after George Floyd's police murder. A SWAT team was driving around in an unmarked van firing a civilian's breaking curfew, unaware they were cops. Stallings later testified he fired back with a pistol, saying he brought they were white supremacists, and he purposely missed to try to scare them off. He was beaten in the street, arrested, and then painted by prosecutors as a would-be cop killer. After his acquittal, Stallings and the city settled for a $1.5 million plus costs and attorney's fees. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the FBI, are investigating the incident. Rice would request an opinion from the Data Practices Office for the prosecutor's office, rebuffed his January request. So, I have been harping on this one since the Reformer broke this story. Release the body cam footage. Because the story was, as placed by the Minneapolis police, this animal opened fire on the cops. We're just innocent victims. And this animal tried to murder us in the street. And it was echoed by the right wing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. To win over public opinion. Until we saw the body cam footage. Until we saw exactly what had happened. Not only did the police of Minneapolis go on a hunting party. And by the way, I know that they're like, how dare you call me this? First of all, if you can exaggerate what Stallings did when you knew he was innocent, you pieces of crap, I can sure as hell call what you did what it was, a hunting party. You went out there to hunt the residents of Minneapolis. You didn't care who it was going to be. You were going to be firing off rounds at them. That whole tape, the whole thing, was cops out of control, looking to injure and arrest people who were not guilty of anything outside of being targets. It was a hunting expedition by the Minneapolis police on the residents of Minneapolis. End of story. End of discussion. That's what it was. What even makes this case even more egregious is Freeman and that Hennepin County Attorney's Office, what in the hell were you doing? How is it you saw that body cam? Fine, I will give you the out that the cops lied to you because, there's a trend. I'll give you the out that you brought in the police department and you said, what exactly happened here? And it's like, well, he came in with laser beam demon eyes breathing fire. Oh, we barely escaped with our lives. I've heard these exaggerated stories before. You were innocent victims and he opened fire on us. No, you basically went out on a hunting expedition, started opening fire. When he returned fire only in a safe mode, then you animals stormed out of your unmarked vehicle and beat the man in the street with glee and aplomb. Lied about all this stuff. Lied about all this stuff. Even though you had the body cam footage that showed you what exactly happened. You lied to the Hennepin County prosecutor. Fine, I'll give you that. But at some point, the Hennepin County prosecutor saw these tapes and didn't immediately call a press conference saying, you know what, we have reviewed the body cam footage and Jaleel Stallings has done nothing wrong here. He was within his right to defend himself. And as a matter of fact, I am looking into charges against some of these police officers for their hunting expedition, as well as also violating numerous ordinances and codes in law. Nope. There is a case of judicial malpractice, which I have not seen. I think this is one of the worst cases I've ever seen. They knew Stallings was innocent. And even at the end, they were like, you better take the plea deal. You'll better take the plea deal. Oh, you better take the plea deal. We'll get you 8 years. Better take the plea deal. Oh, he's innocent of all charges. Oh, okay. Oh, now the city has to pay $1.5 million for beating him in the streets? Oh, I guess we weren't right. No, you knew you weren't right. It was abuse by the police. It was abuse by the courts. My God. And not one single person in that police department, in that van, who opened fire on the citizens of Minneapolis on a hunting expedition. Not any of the other officers who made comments about apparently upset that white supremacists, who were the ones coming into our city and doing the most damage, were being given a bad rap. Nothing for the guys that were seen on camera firing rounds at distant individuals with no care or recollection of what they were doing. When I was in the military, there were times you got pulled aside, especially when the Gulf War was going on, the first Gulf War, where they told you, you need to keep your cool. You cannot allow yourself to devolve into some level of carnage that you think is justified because you're angry. What I saw on the Stallings tape, what I have seen here, is no different than some of the human rights violations American soldiers committed in Vietnam, which were truly atrocious. They seem to be right out of the Russian playbook of what they're doing to the freaking Ukrainians. Going on a hunting expedition. Going to show these people who the boss is. And yet, here we are. Not one police officer has been held accountable. Not a single one. No charges, no nothing. Some stern finger wagging. Oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Oh, we already got to the bottom of it. We've seen the tapes. You know, when they opened fire on him in an unmarked vehicle, unannounced, you know what? There's another side of the story. Is there? They were just really pissed off at the black people in Minneapolis after they got angry because they murdered George Floyd in the middle of the street. You see? Equality. How is this even possible? And frankly, there should be some lawyers in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office who also should be under full investigation. When did you know that Jahleel Stallings was innocent of the charges you had filed against him? But yet you continue to try to get him convicted and trying to take a plea deal. It wouldn't be enough to make all these people pay that $1.5 million. All the people in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office that knew that Stallings was innocent. All the police officers who went on the hunting expedition in the city of Minneapolis 5 days after George Floyd was murdered. It would be a good start. But I'm sorry. You wonder why there still is a lack of trust in the Minneapolis police. It's because we have video evidence of the Minneapolis police going on a hunting expedition to go after the residents of the city. And even with the video evidence, we have not seen one charge against them. We've seen them beating people in the streets, not one charge against them. This is the problem. And frankly, this revamped community review, no. You need someone that's going to be in there and realize the people don't trust the Minneapolis police. And until you guys actually charge the people that did this, I don't care if they've retired. I don't care if they're at a different precinct. You need to file charges against these people and show that you are going to have some level of accountability for the residents of the city. That until you do that, there is not going to be trust with the Minneapolis police. There just isn't. And that's not me. That's you. Stop getting mad that we see and hear exactly what you are. Don't crap on my birthday cape and start singing happy birthday. How about I say it like that? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll do an update on the weather and the roads when we do return and wrap up the show. It's the Matt McNeil Show on your Tuesday on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Julie in Plymouth, up in Plymouth, saying the snow has stopped there. It looks like it's pretty much moved off or into Wisconsin now. Sounds like it's actually going to be heavier up in the northern parts of Wisconsin. And how many inches are they talking about there? Foot?
Yeah, okay. Along that south shore of Lake Superior. Yeah.
You know, I am at the most northern I'm ever going to live, man. Nothing is, Winnipeg's a nice town. Duluth, I love you. But I'm good in Minneapolis, St. Paul, man. I am good here. I will say, looking at the roadways right now, it's a mess out on Cedar Avenue from the river heading over towards 35E. There's four accidents there. It's really backed up. Watch out for trouble there. 494 in the Southeast Metro, 52 in the Southeast Metro, both having troubles. 35E up in the Northeast Metro, three accidents working over there. Most of the rest of the metro area, you know, a few accidents downtown Minneapolis. Sounds like there's an accident right out here on 212 right by the station. We could go actually do a live report. I'm not going to go do that. But
I'm not going out there either.
I got to get my vehicle out from where it was because, yeah. But it needless to say, just take it easy. The plows are going to be out, and that's the good news. The plows are going to be out, and they're going to be clearing roads. By tomorrow morning's commute, it's not going to be that bad. And then the other thing that I noticed is the weather forecast, the daily forecast, we're going to be 42 on Friday. Roads are going to get cleared. The roads are going to be pretty much clear if it hits 42. 36 on Thursday, 42 on Friday, but then there you go. 18 on Saturday. Hello there.
Now, speaking of plows, should just an FYI for those of you in Minneapolis and St. Paul, there are snow emergencies in effect, so get your cars off the street.
Oh, nothing makes snow winter wonderland more magical than not being able to find a parking spot within 3 miles of your house. Good luck with that. Check with all your local cities and find out if you have a snow emergency. My guess is going to be once you get over 5 inches, that's really kind of the threshold. So if you got 5 inches, anticipate you probably have a snow emergency out there and you probably want to get your vehicle off the road. All right. Just take it easy and drive slow out there. I'm sure that you're I'm sure that's it will get better. It will get better. If I can get out of the parking lot tonight, that will be a miracle. I did want to make sure I mention once again the breaking news we had this hour. Stuart Rhodes is going to jail. That's right. That large human scumbag. He basically the convicted Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes. Remember, I've had these people scream about Oath Keepers, Proud Boys. They're just people who are proud of their culture. They're anti-American traitors that tried to overthrow the government. And, yeah, no, he's going to jail. Stuart Rhodes, guilty of seditious conspiracy. Once again, the 20 years, he can get 20 years for that. There's another charge. He can get up to 20 years for that, too. Don't give him the 7. Don't give him, like, 14 so he's out on possible parole in 8 or 9 years. No, throw the book at him. Make an example of these two clowns and the whole crew. Throw them in jail for the maximal extent and give them some time to think about what they did. All right. Native Roots Radio in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. Make sure you're joining us for that. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.